Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. When you're there, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's go. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's pray. Father, I need you. I pray, God, you just help me and work through me and use me in spite of me. God, that's not just something I say. I really need you. In spite of me. Thank you that you use any sinner. It still amazes me that you've chosen to use us. You know what man is. You know the worst of man. And yet you still choose to use us. God, thank you for this privilege and honor to get to stand here and preach your word. Lord, I pray you would fill me with your spirit and I'd be completely yielded to you. And Lord, you would help us to learn at your feet and not be a fool. Thank you for giving us your word, giving us this place to meet. I pray you'd use this time now for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wise or foolish living. We are absolutely blessed to get to be a part of the Lord's church. This is a privilege really beyond our understanding, I believe. We don't know how good it is that we have this. God's good to us to let us be a part of this. We're in a place where we learn the authoritative doctrine of the Lord. That's what it says right here, that it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. The doctrine is what astonished them. And it goes on to say, for they were astonished at his doctrine because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So he taught doctrine. He taught them this truth, the truths that he was putting out, the doctrine, with authority. In comparison to the scribes who didn't teach with authority, probably because they didn't believe it, didn't live it. It's hard to stand up and preach something that you're not living or striving to live. Not that any of us can fully ever attain to the standards of the Bible, but we should strive for it. I had a preacher tell me, he said, if you're only going to preach on the things that you've gotten, you know, under control, he says, you're going to be a pretty shallow preacher. He says, every preacher has to preach above where they're at. You have to, or we're not going to preach on anything. And if a preacher thinks that, well, I've got most of this under control, he's lying to you. Amen. Amen. If he's honest with himself, every one of us in here is struggling with something. Probably many somethings. You have to preach above where you're at. Jesus taught them as one having authority. And we're in a place where the authoritative doctrine of the Lord is taught. And we ought to thank God for that. Amen. You know, the Bible warned about there'd come a time in Israel's history where there'd be a famine in the land. Not a famine of food, but of the Word of God. And we've got... It amazes me how many Bible versions there are in English right now. I lost count. I don't know how many there are. I think it's over 300 translations in the English language. Why you'd need that many, the only reason I can see is because the devil wants to confuse things. And why is it all coming in the English language? That's a whole other sermon topic that we could deal with. But, you know, at least here in America... How many of you own more than one Bible? All of us. I think every hand went up. I don't know how many I own. 10 or more. Probably. If I went and looked. And I've given some away. We've got the Bible. It's all over. I mean, most people, if you ask them, do you have a Bible? It might not be the King James Bible, but you ask them, do you have a Bible? And they say, yeah, I got a Bible. But there's a famine in the land, a famine of hearing the Word of God, because it's not preached. The doctrine of Christ is not preached. The doctrine of the Lord is not preached. It's neglected. So we are blessed, I'm telling you, when I say that. I'm not saying that I'm anything special, but what is being taught from here is special. Because you get the doctrine of the Lord here. We strive for that. We aim for that. And that's not everywhere. Let me also say, because of that, because that's how we preach here, that will keep people from coming. They might show up and visit, but they won't come back. Because they don't want it. You can see the two people that are being contrasted here. And it fits with the two ways, the two paths. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. All of this fits together. It rides right off of that. That you've got these two foundations that are being laid right here. If you notice with both of them, they all hear the Word of God. So this leads me to believe then that these are people who are going to be around Jesus. That's why I titled this, Learning at Jesus' Feet but Living Like a Fool. They all hear it. Verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. And then verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. So they're all hearing it. They're all hearing what Jesus said. What's he talking about? These sayings of mine. The context of this, he's talking about the Sermon on the Mount, the sermon he just preached in chapters 5, 6, and 7. That's what he's telling them about. He's saying, if you hear these things that I said, so it's people that are there to listen to Jesus. People that are here, sitting right here, right now. But are we going to sit at Jesus' feet and learn at his feet, but live like a fool? Because we don't do them. We hear it, but we don't do it. Can you imagine to just be there on that mountainside as Jesus is sitting with the mount there as his backdrop, and he's preaching to all these people, and they're hearing him preach the Sermon on the Mount? I mean, this is just even secular people that read this, and people in literature and stuff say this is some of the best, you know, speech that's ever been, is the Sermon on the Mount. It's just amazing, and they fall all over themselves over it, because it is. It is great. It is amazing. They don't even recognize Jesus as God or anything like that, or the Bible as anything special. They just say literary, it's beautiful. And it is. But could you imagine being there and sitting there and getting to hear what Jesus says, getting to hear him preach this message? Hear it coming from his lips. And then you've got a choice. You've got a decision. Am I going to do what he said? Or am I going to be a fool? And I'm telling you, that's a decision before us every week when we come here. Every week. Every week. Every week. Am I going to do what he said? Or am I going to live like a fool? That's what we have to ask ourselves. So with the privilege of being somewhere like this, where we're hearing the doctrine of the Lord, comes a responsibility. And that responsibility is, what are we going to do with the doctrine we're learning? Are we going to put it into practice? Are we going to actually do something with it? Are we going to have a real, vibrant, living faith? Or is it going to be just something we talk about? And I go to church and I do, I'm there all the time and all this stuff, and that's kind of it. Or when's our faith going to get real? And I know for most of us in here it is, but maybe for some of us it's not. So when's it going to get real for us? Why are we going to sit at Jesus' feet and live like a fool? We've come through this Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7. We learned about the two ways, the two trees, the two professions, and now we see the two foundations. You're going to build on one or the other. Every one of us. The sad thing is that at times we're going to pick up from the rock and start building in the sand. What? Yeah, because we can hear what he says, and we're over here doing what he tells us, and we're obeying him, and then we hear something, and then all of a sudden we say, I'm getting up and I'm going to start building on the sand. How do we do that? By just ignoring him. I'm not going to do what you said, Lord. Amazes me. I've been listening to, getting ready to preach through the book of Acts. I've probably listened to the book of Acts 20 times or so in the last week or so, maybe 2 weeks. And you get to Peter when in Acts chapter 10, when he has the vision to go to Cornelius. And right before they show up asking him to come, he's there and he's in a trance, the Bible says, and he has this vision of the Lord coming to him. And it's like a big sheet let down and all these, you know, unclean animals to a Jew are on it. And the Lord says, slay and eat. And Peter answers him, he says, not so, Lord. If you see you should see some humor in that, because he's saying, not so, Master. You don't tell your master no. I'm not going to do what you said, Master. It's like a contradiction there. But how many times do we do that? I mean, think about it. If the Lord asked you to, you know, if he came and walked in this building and he asked you, hey, will you run 5 laps around the building for me? I mean, I'm going to be first in line. I'll do it. All of us should be like that. If the Lord came here, Jesus himself walked in the doors. Say, I want you to go do something to me. I need you to go to this house over here. You know, just walk out here, take a left down this street, turn right on the next street. It's the third house on the right. I want you to go in there and ask him for a gallon of milk. I mean, who would refuse? Would any of us say, no, I'm not going to do that, Lord. I don't even know those people. Or we say, okay, Lord. But how come when he tells us to do stuff in his word, we're just like, oh, no. See, we're sitting at Jesus' feet, but we're living like a fool because we won't do what he says. And he's asking us. He's wanting us to serve him. He's saying, build on the solid rock. Why are you over there building on the sand? Because the end of that's going to be ruin. But the problem is that people are so foolish. See, we have no prudence. We have no prudence. Some of you are like, what is prudence? Prudence is the ability to look ahead and see what's going to happen. To look farther down the road. Not just at the immediate circumstances, but let me look, you know, 5-10 years down the road and see, where's this road leading? What are my actions right now going to lead to? That's what it means to be prudent. The Bible says in Proverbs, the prudent man looketh well to his going. A prudent person looks up and says, okay, based on what I'm doing, where am I going to end up? The fool just says, dum-dee-dum-dee-dum-dee-dum. Just stay looking down, run into the, you know, the pole. You know, how many of you have seen those videos about people texting and not paying attention? Man, those are hilarious. You're just watching someone just walk into a pole, just boom! Those ones that trip over fountains and fall in the fountain. I mean, that's a fool right there. The prudent person looks up. So what's in front of me? What's there in front of me? See, that's what we need to do. We need to ask ourselves, based on what I'm doing right now, if I'm wanting to ignore the Lord, so I'm wanting to live like a fool, I'm building on the sand, the problem is the storm doesn't come right away. So here I am building my home, building on this foundation of sand, and I'm like, man, this home is beautiful. Look at everything I've got. This is just awesome. I mean, man, just an amazing house. I mean, it got everything you want, 2,500 square feet. I got my man cave. You know, I've got, I don't know, my walk-in closet with all my clothes for you ladies. I mean, whatever it is. You know, I got an electric shoe rack that just rotates them for me, all that type of stuff. Just an amazing house. I got a 4-car garage, all this stuff. I got a pool in the back. I mean, it's just amazing. Refrigerated air, amen. It's not a swamp cooler. I mean, I got everything I want. And you're like, life is good. And you've been building on sand and the storm hasn't come yet. Because the fool isn't prudent. The fool doesn't look down the road. The fool looks at the immediate, at right now. What's going to satisfy me right now? Let me slap that down on a credit card. Let me just slap it on the credit card so I can get it now, because I want it right now. Not realizing that you got to pay eventually. It's going to cost you something. And the storm comes. And great is the fall. Great is the fall of it. Because we're not prudent. Because we're not doing what the Lord says. We're not willing to follow what His Word says. We're not willing to follow His doctrine. See, we're sitting and learning at Jesus' feet, but we're living like a fool. Because we won't obey the Lord. It's that simple. That's what it comes down to. That's what the Lord describes right here. Those two foundations, two people, they're hearing the same thing. Are you ignoring the Lord's doctrine and doing some things that will ultimately end in disaster? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's not always easy to follow what the Lord says. It is not always easy to follow what the Lord says. When the Lord asks you to do something and you know God's telling you, and your first response is, God, that's going to be hard. That's going to be hard. Are we going to trust Him and do it by faith anyway? See, that's what it means to build on the rock and not on the sand. Jesus instructs us that if we're willing to follow His doctrine, it will give us wisdom and help us to weather life's storms. But if we ignore Him, it's going to bring sure destruction. I mean, look, that's what it says right there. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. He said, destruction is coming. If you want to build on the sand, if you want to hear what I say and ignore me, go ahead. But mark it down, destruction's coming. Destruction's coming. I think of how many marriages have been wrecked because people don't take it serious and they want to become friends with old high school somebody of the opposite sex or some coworker that they work with. We're just friends. You know, I just talked to her. He's nice to me. Because you won't guard that, because you're not using prudence, it destroys marriages. Destroys them. I know people whose marriage it destroyed, broke it apart. We think, not me. You know, great will be the fall of it. You don't want to listen to what the Lord says? Great will be the fall of it. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. See, we want to sit at Jesus' feet but live like a fool. How do you think that worked out for Judas? Think about everything he heard. He heard everything the other 11 heard. He saw all the miracles the other 11 saw. That's why when people say, if God would just show me, that doesn't mean nothing. God did show up and show Himself to everybody. And He brought Himself back from the dead, and people still don't believe it. So it has nothing to do with that. They've got the Bible. That's what Abraham told the rich man. No, your brothers have Moses and the prophets. If they won't hear them, they're not going to hear one if he came back from the dead. And they don't, because Jesus did come back from the dead and told them. They don't listen to him either. A miracle's not going to do it. Again, I said earlier that when Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, He's talking about the whole Sermon on the Mount. By the way, the heart of this sermon is found throughout the epistles, throughout the New Testament. So it's not just to a Jewish audience or a future kingdom, which is what so many want to say. Well, this doesn't apply to us. The Sermon on the Mount's just for the Jews, or it's for the future kingdom that's to come, which they've got that stuff all messed up. You could see the prohibition of oaths in James chapter 5, verse 12, non-resistance in 1 Corinthians 6, 7, love of enemies, Romans 12, 20, fasting in 2 Corinthians 6, 5, the danger of unforgiveness in James 2, 13, the danger of the love of money in 1 Timothy 6, 10, the command to seek God's kingdom in 1 Thessalonians 2, 12. I mean, this stuff is all, the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching of it is all throughout the Bible. God expects us to hear these sayings of mine and do them. So He wants us to sit at His feet and live like a wise man, not like the fool. Because of the sound doctrine we receive through this church, we can live like wise men. If we hear His sayings and do them, we'll be like liken Him. Jesus said, I'll liken Him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, if you know anything about building something, you want it to have a strong, sturdy foundation. Because if not, it's that thing's going to shift or whatever may come. I mean, it won't stay up. It's going to go down. But a solid foundation, it's not going anywhere. It's going to hold solid. I mean, it's amazing if you've ever looked at the pictures of an area when a tornado goes through it. If you go back and look after the tornado's gone through, you see nothing but foundations left. The house is gone. The foundation stands solid. You've ever seen a house fire? Everything may be burned up. The foundation is still there. And if they had a brick fireplace, you could still see that. The foundation's key. That's where we have to start. As saved people, we got to decide what foundation do I want to build on? Do I want to build on the rock or do I want to build on the sand? I mean, look, sand building is following the world. Why would we do that? Why would we model ourselves after the way the lost world does things? Why would we say, that looks like a good idea. That's ending in disaster for, you know, 100,000, you know, or one ends in disaster for 100,000 out of 100,001. So why wouldn't I do that? That looks like a great idea. Let me follow that pattern versus what God says, because what God says is going to be like 180 degrees different. I mean, it's going to be big time different. And you might look strange doing some of the things that the Lord wants you to do, because you're not going to fit in with the world all the time. You're going to have to stand out. That means you can't be ashamed to stand for God. Look, if you're really going to live for God, if you're going to build on the rock and not on the sand, you're going to have to stand out at times. You're going to have to speak up. Do we trust God or not? Hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm telling you, when it comes down to it, if it's going to cost us a job or something to stand for the Lord, are we willing to seek His kingdom first and trust Him to meet all of our needs still? Or are we going to do it the world's way and just, I'll just back off a little bit. Let me just back up just a bit. I don't need to be so fanatical. I wouldn't want to be a fan of Jesus. That's what that means. You know that? Fan is something that's fanatical. They just shortened it. I mean, just go to, you know, the Lobos when they play. Look at all these nuts painting themselves up and everything for their God. If you think it's bad for the Lobos, go look at pro sports teams. Gets even worse. I mean, the UFC phenomenon that's taking over, people's thinking, you got Christians watching that junk. I'm just telling you right now, I could sit down and watch a UFC fight and enjoy it. And enjoy it, because I used to. I liked watching that. But how can we justify that when you got them flipping people off and everything like that, cussing, women walking around the ring naked, bashing people's faces in? Because that's Christian entertainment, isn't it? You want to follow the world's ways or stand out? Build on the rock or build on the sand? It's up to you. We're going to learn at Jesus' feet and live like a fool. It's up to you. You get to decide. You're all hearing it. All of us are hearing it. What are we going to do with it? Jesus said that there's these two foundations, these two ways, these two trees, the two people, the two professors. They all profess that they're saved. There's two foundations. Which one are we going to build on? It's up to us. You get to decide. We're hearing the message. What are we going to do with it? We can live like wise men. Doctrinal preaching is what's necessary to live a life of wisdom. That's what it says right here. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And then at the end of it, it says, verse 28, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. So doctrinal preaching is what's necessary to live a life of wisdom. If we want to be wise, we need doctrinal, biblical preaching. That's what brings wisdom. And Jesus likens sound doctrine to building a house on a solid foundation. The teachings of Christ should be paramount to all of our lives. What Jesus teaches should be paramount. It should be number one in our life. It should be the focus of our life. We should zero in on that. Are we? That's what it means to build on the rock and not on the sand. Especially, let me say, the doctrine of Christ. I hope we all know what the doctrine of Christ is. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It's so important that we know that. He's talking about His doctrine. Well, the doctrine of Christ, it's called His doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. We need to know that because that's the very foundation. That's where we're going to start. That is the milk of the Word. That's the beginning. You start a baby off on milk. That's the starting place. We need to know that. Doctrine is what's going to give us stability because it's that solid foundation. I've run into so many professing believers that have zero stability. I mean, none. No stability. They're all over the place. I mean, they've gone to every... Because, look, the doctrine I hate more than any other doctrine, the teaching of the universal church. I can't stand that doctrine. Because of that, they run all over the place. They're going everywhere and just to this fellowship and this one and this one and this one and this one and this one. And they all have a different doctrine. They're so confused. And, well, we're all just Christian. Except this one teaches, you know, baptismal regeneration. This one teaches, you know, your good works get you there. This one teaches, you know, you got to keep these seven sacraments. And this one teaches, you know, that, you know, it's only for the elect or whatever it may be. All these different doctrines that are out there. And they have no stability. All these people that church hop have zero stability. They have none. They have none. Every one of them that I've known. No stability. They just bounce from place to place. They don't know doctrine. They don't know anything. They know a little bit about the Bible here and there enough to tell you, judge not. They know that much. But they have no stability. They're blown about with every wind of doctrine and they bounce from church to church. Practically, they resemble a lost person because they never get the milk of the Word, much less the meat. What do I mean by the milk of the Word? The doctrine of Christ. They never get it. So they live like a lost person because they never grow. There's never any maturity to them. They don't serve God. They don't. They talk about it. They talk about God. They don't serve Him. They live for themselves. They're building on sand. They're building on sand. Doctrine will stop all the instability, but first we must hear the doctrine. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, we've got to hear it. There are many today, just like the multitudes Jesus spoke to. Having ears to hear, they hear not. Jesus said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that's what I'm saying to you today. If you have ears to hear, hear it. Listen to this. But what Jesus means by that is hear what I'm saying and then do it. That's what he means, do it. It's not just talking about physically hearing what I said. What he's implying in that is that you do it. Go and do thou likewise. Amen. Go do it. Do what you hear. Sit at Jesus' feet and be wise. Amen. That's what God wants for us. To hear it means we receive the plain teaching of Scripture. We can't make excuses to explain the parts we don't like away. We just receive it. Secondly, again, this fits with hearing it, but we need to act on what we hear. This is the key component. Here's where the actual building on the proper foundation takes place, is that we don't just hear it because both groups heard. Both of the people that built on the foundations, they both heard the same thing, but the difference is what they did with it. One went and did what Jesus said, the other ignored it and did their own thing. How many are like that today in Christianity? You ever been there? I've been there. I heard what Jesus said, but this is what I want to do. That's why I said earlier we could, man, we're building right here, just going along good. Tink, 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 and then all the, what? Oh, no. I'm going to build on the sand. Forget that. I'm not listening to that. And that's what we go and do. I'm telling you, if you're in the sand right now, get out. Get out. Be wise. Hear Him and go do what He says. Without action, we're simply hypocrites. Think about it. Think about it. If we don't do what Jesus says and we just hear it, all we are is hypocrites, because we say, yeah, that's what you ought to do, but we don't do any of it. Amazes me, people that are like, we need to win souls. Well, do you? I agree, we do. Do you? Jesus came to die for the lost. Let's reach them. Great. What are you doing? Who are you talking to? Well, I give to missions. Good. Who do you talk to? Who do you talk to? See, that's something we have to avoid. And look, by the way, you don't get to escape the Great Commission because that's a command to everyone. You don't get to escape it because your spouse does it. Okay? You don't get to escape it because your spouse does it. It's a command to each and every one of us to go and share the gospel. So what are we doing with it? The temptation for a lot, and a lot of people do this, is that they soothe their conscience by giving to missions. Well, I don't have to tell people, so I'm just going to give to missions. And that's a good thing. Amen, that's a good thing. But Jesus said, go and teach all nations. Isn't that what he said? Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Show us something else. Save your spot in Matthew. We'll be back. I'm going to read here, Acts 1, 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, where? Both. Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, look, I can't be in the uttermost part of the earth, but Jesus said you need to be a witness in both places. And he listed like five. He said both. The only way we can do that is through missions. I got to give, someone else across the world can tell someone, but who's going to do it here? Well, you are. You are. You're going to tell them here. That's how you can do both. That's how you can do both. We have to. That's what he told us. You can't escape that. I know other churches that they're going to, oh, we're going to print Bibles. And that's a great thing. I mean, they buy the equipment, they print them, they package them, and they ship them off to other countries so that in different countries they can get the Bible and the missionaries need them, and praise the Lord for that. That's a good thing. But not if that takes place of you being a witness. And that's what most of them do. So we're going to hear him. We're sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him, but we live like a fool because we won't do what he says, so we're going to build on the sand. Any of you ever been to the ocean before? Yeah, you ever built a sandcastle before the tide comes in? And then you sit there, have you ever sat there and watched the tide come in and just absolutely destroy it? It just washes it away. I mean, you could have spent hours working on it. And you got it nice and you dug your moats and everything around it. And I mean, big tower and stuff. I mean, get the buckets, you get that kind of wet sand. It'll just stay there right how you put it. I mean, you can get it looking all nice and fancy. I remember doing that as a kid. We went to visit the beach. And then the high tide came in and just, it was gone in like 2 minutes. I'm like, well, we worked on that for like 2 hours. What happened? Built it on the sand. It's worthless. It's gone. The storm will come. The storm will come, whatever that storm may be. So which foundation are we going to build on? Are we going to build on the rock? You ever gone out to the ocean, you seen a rock standing there? I'm not talking a little rock. I'm talking like a rock, like bigger than this building, rock. They don't move. They're still there. I mean, millions and millions of years worth of the water just beating. I'm just kidding, okay? But just thousands of years of the water just beating on it. And the rock stands. It's not going anywhere. So where are we going to build? Where are you going to build? You going to build on the rock, or are you going to build on the sand? It's up to you. What's going to make the difference is what you do with what Jesus says. Are you going to obey him or not? Are you going to listen to him? Without action, I said, we're simply hypocrites. In God's eyes, obedience to his word is wisdom. Say, I want wisdom, then obey God. Well, I don't know what I need to do here. Well, do what you know you need to do. Do what you know He says. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, so what I hear Him say, I'm just going to do it. The other stuff, I don't know. I'm going to pray about it. I'll ask Him to show me and guide me. But while I'm waiting on the answer for that, I'm going to do what I know I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to put it off. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to be prudent. I'm going to look at the destruction that can come about from building on the sand. I'm going to stop just filling myself with my pride and deciding to do that. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to stop doing that. And I'm going to look at things through God's eyes, through God's perspective, and say, what does the Lord want me to do? And get off the sand. Get off the sand. Just look 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road at what you're doing today and say, is there going to be anything left of this when I stand before God? Is it going to burn up? And if it's going to burn up, get off the sand and get over here on the rock and start building on the rock. Amen. That way there'll be something left in the end. Something eternal. A soul saved. Amen. We can't let the world influence our thinking in this regard, because God's thinking is right side up while the world's thinking is upside down. Acts 17:6 says, the rulers of the city, these also that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. That's how they saw it. The lost people said, man, what Paul's doing here and these Christians are doing, they've turned the world upside down. No, they got it right side up. We're upside down. So to the lost world, what we're going to do is going to seem upside down. Man, I would love it. I would love it if that's what was said in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Man, these nuts are turning this world upside down. Good. Amen. Amen. Much of what God expects of us doesn't make sense to the natural man, but we are to be spiritually minded. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death. Building on the sand. Let me build on the sand. It's going to be the death of something. There's going to be a great fall. It doesn't always mean it's going to be a physical death. It could be the death of a relationship. Could be physical death. Could be the death of anything, a certain situation. Death of a job, I don't know. But the fall is going to be great. See, to be carnally minded, to think after the flesh, what the flesh wants, what the flesh desires, we're to fight the flesh. We're to think after the new man. To be spiritually minded, the verse goes on to say, Romans 8:6. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. You can have peace in this life. Even though there's disaster going on all around you, you can be at peace. I remember my old pastor, his wife, she grew up in Texas, and she said one time when she was just a kid, they had a tornado come through, so they were down in the storm shelter, and she said this was the one she remembers. It was just scared the daylights out of her. I mean, they're all freaking out. They're down in the shelter, and I mean, as they're in the shelter, they just hear it passing over, and I mean, it just sounded like thunder, just the loudest thing you could ever imagine just going off, and then all of a sudden it got calm, and they said, okay, the dads were like, all right, good, it passed. So they come out of the shelter and they look up and it's beautiful, clear skies. I mean, the sun is shining through. Just looked amazing. And they get out there and they're like, oh, good, we're okay. And they start looking around and they realize that they're in the center of that tornado. It's that big. But it was peace in the center. And that's why we want to be on the rock. Because even though the storm's around us raging, if we're where God wants us, there's life and peace. If we're spiritually minded. But to be carnally minded is death. So which foundation will you build on? Are you going to hear what Jesus says and live like a fool? Are you going to hear what He says and do it? That's wisdom. That's what God wants from us. That means we're going to have to deny ourselves. We're going to have to say, nope, I can't get that. Nope, I can't do that. Nope, I can't see that person. Nope, I can't be friends with that person. Nope, I got to pull away from my family. From my own family. From my parents. From my brother. My sister. God, I don't want to do that. God says, then go ahead and build in the sand. But sometimes you got to decide. You want to risk the storm over there? Or do you want to have life and peace where God wants you? It's up to us. We get to decide. Let's pray. Father,